It's time once again for the Rose Chat Podcast, your source of inspiration and motivation to achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington as they explore the world of roses and chat with the world's top rose experts, authors, artists, curators, and more. Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Well, hey, everyone. It's time to chat about roses again, and we're so glad you've joined us for the Rose Chat Podcast. Now, the weather here in Alabama is starting to break just a little bit, and we think that the polar vortex is almost behind us. You know, and it's a time where a lot of folks are starting to think about planting roses. I just wanted to give a big shout-out to a group of ladies who were thinking about roses last night over at the Highland Lakes Garden Club here in Birmingham. Went over there and spent the evening with them talking about roses, and I never met a nicer bunch of folks. Just wanted to say hey to them tonight. Hey, Teresa, how are you?
Hey, Chris. Well, it sounds like you met some really special gardeners last night.
Oh, I really did. They were a great bunch, and they were all excited to get started in the rose garden.
Oh, that's fun. Well, I have to tell you that I purchased a Sally Holmes rose last week and at the Chinaki District meeting, and right now she's resting comfortably in the refrigerator because we are under another storm watch. More snow, more ice is coming. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. How many days till spring?
Not very many. It is just about here, but it's just not behaving that way yet. I just can't wait till spring actually comes and I can bring Sally out and give her a proper introduction to my garden. So for now, let's take a deep breath and forget about the polar vortex and start chatting about roses. Bayer Advanced Lawn and Garden expert Lance Walheim is with us today to provide some helpful tips on getting started growing roses. Lance has appeared on ABC, HGTV, DIY Network, and the Discovery Channel. He's a senior editor of the Sunset Western Garden Book and a regular contributor to Sunset Magazine. His garden videos can be found on BearAdvance.com and on Lowe's YouTube channel. Lance has also authored and contributed to more than 30 gardening books, including the best-selling Roses for Dummies. Yes, Roses for Dummies. Lance has a beautiful rose garden outside his home in California and also grows specialty citrus such as Caracara Pink Navel Oranges and the luscious Meyer Lemons on his 17-acre citrus ranch. Lance is in the virtual studio, and after this quick break, he'll join us to talk roses and Bayer Advanced All-in-One Rose Care. So stay with us. Here's more Rose Chat coming your way.
Since 1999, Rose Mania has been your one-stop source for all your rose care needs. From chemicals and safety equipment to garden tools and fertilizers, Rose Mania offers the top products at some of the best prices around. They even sell bare root roses. Rose Mania carries a full line of products to help battle fungal diseases, insects, and mites, while not harming the beneficial insects you want in your garden. Shipping is free on merchandise orders over $25. Their staff of consulting rosarians is available to answer your rose questions, so visit them today at rosemania.com.
I chat, you chat, we all chat about Rose Chat. It's the place to talk roses online. Follow the Rose Chat hashtag on Twitter. Find us on Facebook or listen to the Rose Chat podcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can even listen on the go via iTunes and Stitcher app. Honey, you know I love me some Rose Chat. So come on, jump in and explore the wild and wonderful world of roses.
Well, how could we say no to Esther? Let's bring Lance on. Hey, Lance, welcome to Rose Chat. We're so glad you could join us this evening.
Hey, Teresa, it's great to be here. And boy, you really started off on a good note talking about Sally Holmes, one of my favorite roses.
Oh, I'm so glad. What a great endorsement. I mentioned that on Twitter tonight that I had purchased that, and boy, a lot of people were talking about Sally and how much they loved her and how that she was a must for the garden. So I'm so excited. Is it true it's almost thornless?
Might have not been thornless. I've got some thorns on mine, but, you know, we did a survey out here in California where we asked Rosarians what their favorite roses were, and surprise to a lot of people, Sally Holmes came on top, and, you know, those big single flowers, I just love them.
Oh, it just looks beautiful. I simply can't wait. I hope she goes great guns the first year. Lance, we want to start out by hearing how you got interested in growing roses.
Well, probably it goes back, you know, like most people, it was started in the family. My father used to grow roses many years ago, and I used to work with him and cut the flowers, and then also did a lot of work with the, you know, in the vegetable garden. So it's kind of started out as a family thing, and, you know, over the years I got more and more interested in them, and then when I got out of college and started writing gardening books, you know, roses were some of the most popular books to write, and over the years, I've written probably 3 or 4 different ones, so it's been a lifelong passion.
It just gets in your blood, doesn't it?
It sure does.
It's just very special, and when it has roots in your family, and I had, you know, my mother was a gardener, my grandmother was a gardener. They didn't grow roses, but you just, you know, to get your hands in the dirt, and who doesn't fall in love with roses? They're beloved by so many. Now that spring is just around the corner, regardless of the polar vortex, could you offer some tips for getting our roses ready for spring?
Sure could. You know, it depends, of course, on where you live. Out here in California, and I know in probably parts of the southeast, a lot of the roses have all budded out, and we've done all our pruning. But, you know, if you do get a break in the weather and you want to get out and start doing some of the pruning, but, you know, honest, with the cold weather that you guys have had back there, you know, sometimes it's a little better that you wait and you see exactly how far that damage has gotten into the wood because, you know, with the weather we've had, we're definitely going to have some cold damage. So it may be a good time to wait a little bit and see which canes are really dried out before you rush out there. You know, and a lot of people, you know, there's not a lot of plants out there like hybrid tea roses that we prune as hard as we do. And a lot of people don't really realize why we do that. You know, we prune those roses so hard, you know, back to 5, 6, you know, no matter how many healthy canes we have. And the reason is the harder you prune them, the stronger canes you're going to get. So you're really going to get fewer but bigger flowers. So with the hybrid teas where we're really looking for cut flowers, that's why we prune them so hard. You know, with some of the landscape shrubs, which we're really talking about having more color, we don't really care about the size of the individual flowers, you know, we can shear those back and be a little bit less careful with the pruning. I'm really a big fan of getting out the head shears when it comes to the landscape roses.
Yeah, that certainly makes for ease of cutting.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, you know, with the landscape roses. It's about easier care.
Sure. Do you have any particular cutting techniques? Do you cut straight across on your hybrid tees, or do you think it's better to cut on an angle?
Well, you know what? I've always thought we've got some pretty funny pruning rules when it comes to roses. You know, we've got to cut them at 1/4 inch above a bud, and we've got to have it a 45-degree angle. You know, I think all these crazy rules kind of intimidate some people more than they really should. My attitude has always been the important thing is that you go out and prune them. You know, if you do cut too close to a bud, you can kill the bud, and if you cut too high above the bud, you'll get some dead wood. There's things like that, but the important thing is to get out there and do it.
How true that is. Lance, what about cleanup? You know, we're going to do all this. How important it is to keep the garden clean?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of the diseases that we have overwinter on, you know, plant debris, if we leave the prunings around, if we leave the leaves sitting around, you can, you know, spread diseases that were on the plants from last year. So it's a very good idea to clean up as best you can, get rid of the disease material, you know, any way you can, put it in a garbage bag or however you dispose of your organic materials. Probably shouldn't put it in a compost pile. You don't want your prunings in a compost pile anyway. And then, you know, use a dormant oil or whatever you use for a dormant spray, and that'll certainly help as well. But cleanup is very important, no matter what type of gardening you're doing.
I totally believe that is true. Okay, once our cleanup and pruning chores are done and we're ready to begin the growing season, I know that Bayer Advance offers a very easy-to-use product that's called All-in-One Care. It's got fertilizer, fungicide, and insecticide. So how does that work?
Well, that's Bayer Advance All-in-One Rose and Flower Care, and it is important to start thinking about that early because it's, you know, when it comes to disease control especially, you want to get any product that you use on early so that you can prevent the disease before it gets established. But All-in-One Rose and Flower Care is a systemic product. You don't need to spray it. You have two options. You can mix it with water and pour it at the base of the plant, and it's absorbed up into the plant and protects it from the inside out. So there's no spraying, and the product protects and feeds for up to 6 weeks. So you're not only getting a product that's very easy to use and also is very effective, but it also lasts longer than, you know, traditional products. It also comes in a new granular form that if you're used to just spreading the material on the around the base of the plant and watering it in, we have that option as well.
Sounds really easy. How about the fertilizer that's in it? How much fertilizer is in there?
Well, the fertilizer, it's a light fertilizer. You know, we have the fertilizer, I'm just looking at the analysis of it. Depending on which one you're using, we have a 9-14-9 or a 6-9-6. So it's a pretty good fertilizer. You know, sometimes, to be honest with you, it lasts 6 weeks. I like to give it a little blast of nitrogen. We know how heavy feeders rows are. And if you're not getting the kind of growth, you might want to add a little bit of fertilizer there too as well.
For those that are new to growing roses, could you explain what the fertilizer numbers really mean and why they're important?
Yeah, I mean, the fertilizer, you know, basically on the label of a fertilizer, you have the NPK analysis, and that basically is the percentage of those nutrients in the fertilizer. For instance, if you have a 10-10-10 fertilizer, to make it easily, that is 10% nitrogen, 10% phosphorus, and 10% potassium. Now, when it comes to roses, the key nutrient is the nitrogen. That's really what forces, you know, gives you new growth and produces more bloom. So that's really the key figure that you want to look at. But you also want to look at the phosphorus and the potassium because they encourage good blooming and also good root growth. So you need them all.
I also read that the fungicide was good for black spot, powdery mildew, rust, and southern blight. Southern blight? I've never heard of that. What is southern blight?
Well, southern blight is like a leaf spot. You know, the great thing about any of the, like I said before, the important things when you're using any type of fungicide is to get it on early. What I recommend with the All-in-One Rose and Flower Care is that you apply it just as you're starting to get your first full leaf. That way you get the material into the plant before we get into that hot, humid weather in a lot of part of the country where we can really get, you know, the diseases really start to proliferate. So get it on and early, and you're going to get the best results, especially if we're from black spot.
I read about the insecticide portion too, Japanese beetles, aphids, and thrips. Last year I started a battle with rose midge. How would this be effective on rose midge?
You know, I'd have to double-check the label on that, whether rose midge is on the label, and I can pull that up pretty quickly so that we can look at it. To be honest with you, I'm not sure.
It was awful in my garden. I'd never had that before. It was certainly a bloom stiller.
Yeah. In general, you know, it works best on pests that are going to be eating, that are going to be feeding on the foliage, although it is effective against thrip. I'm just going through my labels real quick here so I can find this. Now, what are your favorite roses back there?
We have a mixture of old garden roses and hybrid teas. And last year, the big hybrid tea winners in my garden were Gemini and Beverly. Beverly was a great disease-resistant hybrid tea for me. And we have New Dawn in a couple of places, and we have a lot of landscape roses, and we have drift roses. We pretty much have a combination of everything in our garden.
Well, that's what we like to have, too. I do not see rose midge on the label. So.
Okay, well, that's something we'll just look into a little bit later.
Yeah.
Of all the diseases, I probably get the most questions about black spot. What roses do you think have the most disease resistance to black spot?
Well, you know, black spot obviously is a disease that thrives in moist, humid weather. Some things you want to make sure you do is prune to keep the plant open. You don't want to overhead water.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, you know, the knockout roses, a lot of the new landscape roses have great resistance to black spot. One of the things I always recommend for people is to, you know, do a little local homework to find out which roses are best adapted to your area, whether it's the cooperative extension or it's the Rose Society, whichever it is. Find out what people are having the best luck with. Home Run is another red shrub rose that I really love. I don't know if you've grown that one.
Ooh, I have that one. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of single roses. Easy Going is another one that I really like. You know, even any of the Easy Care, Carefree roses. Another rose that I like, and I'm not too sure. It's not maybe the best for black spot, but a climber that I have is Altissimo. Do you grow that one?
Oh, I don't have that one. Chris, do you have that one? I think Chris has that one.
I do. I grow that. We love that rose. You know, it was given to me as a climber, but it hasn't climbed very much, but it sure puts out a lot of blooms.
Yeah, it's definitely a climber out here. As you know, actually, Sally Holmes is another one that really is more of a climber than a shrub out here.
Well, we picked up a Sally Holmes earlier. Earlier this year, and we hadn't planted it yet, but we are so looking forward to its blooms. We have a lady in our Rose Society here who grows it, and she brings the most magnificent bouquets on one single stem. I mean, probably 100 blooms on one stem.
Oh, my word. I'm drooling. I can't wait.
They almost look like a hydrangea. You know, another rose that I really love, have you guys tried growing the Impostor?
No, I hadn't heard of that.
You know, it's a shrub rose, and the reason it's called the Impostor is that the flowers look like a clematis bloom. It's single, and it has it's pink with darker pink near the edges, and it's just a really remarkable rose.
Oh wow! I just pulled it up online, and that is so cool. I love the color variation of that. It's like the brilliant yellow stamens with the light and the dark pink interspersed in the blooms. That is something else.
Yeah,
I'm going to tweet that out on the Rose Chat hashtag so everybody can see it.
We're going to sell a bunch of those roses tonight. The Impostor. I haven't seen that one. I'm excited about that one.
You know, I love it when we get a different texture from the flowers. Another one that I really love is Gourmet Popcorn. Great landscape rose.
Oh, and it's just luscious looking. It really has that yellow, and then when it opens, it's more white, but it's just beautiful. And every one I've seen has just been covered with bloom. I can't believe I don't already have that one.
Yeah, it's really a spectacular one, and for a landscape plant. And, of course, you know, one of my all-time favorite roses, and the one I probably have more than anything, is Iceberg. Which is just a phenomenal rose. Out here, it's probably the most popular or one of the most popular landscape roses. There's no doubt about it. It just stays in bloom season long.
We had a guest on one time that said something to me, and I hadn't really thought of it, but they said, you know, we find that in the Midwest where you are, Teresa, it's hard to sell a white rose. And after this winter, I think I know why. So we've seen a lot of white, but Iceberg is a lovely, lovely rose. I used to have it, and I don't remember. I must have lost it in a bad winter, but I loved it when I had it, and it is a very beautiful rose.
Yeah, some of the white roses, that you know, the flowers will spot when in areas that get a lot of rain, so I think that may be one of the reasons as well.
We have very good luck with Iceberg here in Alabama. I've got a huge shrub of it in my garden, and it lights up an entire corner at night when it's in bloom.
Yeah, that's a great place, great thing. I mean, you know, as a moon garden, if you're into those, you know, planting a lot of white and silver plants. I love to do that with the artemisias and mix in. I mean, it really does light up a garden at night for a full moon. Or, you know, if you have outdoor lighting, it really is nice.
You mentioned artemisia, which makes me think that we'd love to know what perennials you use with your roses.
Well, that's a great question, because I'm a big fan of using the landscape roses and mixing them in with perennials. And, you know, one of the things I love to do is kind of cover the bases. In other words, use low-spreading plants around the roses that can kind of, you know, cover the open base that you often get. I love to use species geraniums. I love to use a lot of the herbs, the creeping thymes, the salvias. Lamb's ears. I love lamb's ears in front of pink roses. Like, just looks beautiful in front of simplicity, as a matter of fact. So, and then, of course, plants that give you a total different approach, you know, a different form. You know, the ornamental grasses are such a great combination for the roses, because, you know, not only do they look good with the texture in the spring, but then you get those wonderful blooms in the fall. I love to use salvias, penstemons, campanulas. Boy, I just love to use anything. And one of the things I always recommend with people, especially with the landscape roses, is that you have a color theme when you go in there. It's so easy to go into a nursery and see all the rose colors and pick out one of these and pick out that. But, you know, if you have a color theme in your garden and you choose your rose colors along those lines, it really gives your garden a sense of purpose and a sense of design and thought. So it really helps if you can, you know, just maybe it's, for a long time in my garden, I had shades of pink and red and blue and white, and basically just kind of kept the oranges and the yellow out of my garden. But then, you know, there's been so many good orange and yellow roses lately, you know, with things like Honey Dijon and Marmalade Skies and Apricot Nectar and Hot Cocoa. Hot Cocoa is another one I love.
Oh, that's a beautiful one. Chris and I are crazy about yellow roses, and we love Julia Child, and we've got several of those.
That's one of my favorites as well.
Oh, it's so healthy and just pretty, and it just blooms all the time. It works well in a vase. It's just truly one of my favorites.
Now, I'll tell you an orange rose. I guess it's more of a coral, but it looks orange in my garden, is Artistry. It's a hybrid tea that really blooms like a floribunda.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's incredible the amount of blooms that rose puts out. It's an excellent garden rose.
There are so many. You know, with the popularity of the knockout roses, and rightfully so, some people have forgotten just how many great landscape roses are out there. You know, some of the ones that we've talked about, the Iceberg, the Home Run, the Gourmet Popcorn, people really need to look around and think about what they're going to plant, and they just can get, you know, such great options.
Another rose that's done very well for me that's very healthy is Carefree Wonder and Quietness, one of the buck roses. Do you grow either one of those?
I grow some of the Carefree roses. Yeah, they're excellent. I love those. And, you know, I was somewhere in the Midwest once where I was at a public rose garden, and even though they were doing some spraying to control black spot, they just had a terrible outbreak. And you could sit and look over this garden and just see what the black spot had done. But there were several roses standing out that still looked great, and that was, you know, the Carefree series, the Carefree Wonder, just fantastic roses.
They sure are, and they just bloom. They're blooming machines.
They really are.
Well, let's leave roses for just a moment to hear about these Meyer lemons and things that you grow.
Okay. Well, I live on a 17-acre ranch, citrus ranch in California, Central California, and I also have a company that's called California Citrus Specialties. So we grow a lot of specialty citrus fruit. Meyer's lemons is one of the most important that we grow. We do blood oranges, different mandarins, and a lot of oddball stuff like yuzu and sudachis. And overall, we try about 30 different varieties. But when it comes to the, when, you know, one of our favorite is definitely the Meyer lemon. You couldn't ask for a plant that is more generous or better looking. It just, you know, starts blooming and sets fruit the minute you put it in the ground and just knocks itself out. And it's kind of interesting if, you know, you aren't familiar with the fruit. The fruit is much thinner skinned. It has a more, it's a very juicy fruit with a darker orange inside. And that's really because they've determined that it's a hybrid between an orange and a lemon, actually. And so you get this wonderful flowery fragrance from it. It has a higher sugar content than most other lemons, but it's still on the tart side. And it's really loved by dessert chefs, not only for the color, but for the extra sugar that it has in it.
I love everything lemon, so you're making my mouth water. And Garden City, you can go to Lance's website, lancewalham.com, and you'll find a ton of information on roses, but a whole lot more. You'll find some recipes from Meyer Lemons, too.
That's right. You know, it's anybody who cooks, you know, has to have a bowl full of lemons right near because the acidity that they give, you know, just balances everything. I mean, it just gives flavors character. Whenever something's not tasting just right for me, I go for the lemons and squeeze a little bit on, and that usually fixes it.
Yeah. Now, y'all are making me hungry.
We've also got a lot of great information at BearAdvance.com, people can go to there if they want to find out about the Bear Advance products. We also have, you know, organic options and a Natria line for rose care products if you, you know, prefer to do that. We know a lot of people do. So, you know, visit the website and you can see the whole line of products.
Wow. That's awesome. We're going to... we're going to check that out. I'm reading your went over to your website and was looking at all the different things on there just a second ago. And there's just so much information. That's lancewalham.com and then bearadvanced.com as well. Lance, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. We were just so pleased to have you on to talk roses, Bear Advanced All in One Care, and Meyer Lemons. My goodness, what a treat.
Hey, it's been my pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Talk soon.
Well, friends, it's hard to believe that we're at the end of another broadcast of the Rose Chat podcast. Now, we'll be back next week with another awesome guest. So until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
Thanks for listening to the Rose Chat podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington. Hear previous podcasts via our website, rosechatradio.com, or listen to this podcast via iTunes and Stitcher apps. Be sure and give us a 5-star rating and share this show with your social networks. Your friends will thank you. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat. Rose Chat is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.
I know we'll have rose hip tea with lemon.
Ooh, that sounds great. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Good night, Lance.
Hey, thanks, guys. Sorry I fumbled that rose midge question, but
that's
I just wanted
okay.
to make sure.
We'll-